your throne room. We'll walk boldly into your throne room with us.
To the Coach LaLisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am LaLisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach LaLisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning. I hope all is well with everyone. Welcome to the show this morning. Okay, Mr. Walker, if you're in the house, you only need to hit your number one key so I will know when you're ready to come online. All right, wonderful, wonderful. That means you can hear me. Great, great, great. I was having a little challenge before with my phone. Okay, Mr. Walker, is that you?
That's me. Good morning. I thought I was saying good morning, but I didn't realize you could.
Okay. Yes, I've learned in the past, never open a line unless their hand is up, because sometimes people have background situations going on. So how are you today?
You know what? Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. And yourself?
Well, we are doing great. Sitting here in the wonderful, wonderful New Jersey, just enjoying the, I tell you, we had a storm that ripped through here sometime between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I mean, it was loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. But here we are, just a week, a little more than a week, not even a week, well, almost a week, away from one wonderful time of year. Everybody's excited about spending time with family and friends, and most people are anyway. But it is going, yes, I should better not say everybody, because someone will say, not me. But, oh, it's just been amazing, amazing. I mean, seeing you on Saturday was so great. To see you at the Got Motivation Then Speak event, that was awesome. Oh, I tell you, didn't we have a great time?
Oh, yeah, and in fact, we did. I'm glad that, you know, you invited me. I'm glad that because I'm committed to doing what I say I'm going to do, that I not only, you know, made the time, but I had the time to get out there and fully enjoy it. And I don't know if you realize, I made sure that I was planted dead center down in front, because I don't want to be in action that was being, you know, conveyed by you and the other presenters.
You are right front and center. That was awesome. I tell you, things are happening. pardon me, things are happening, and they are happening super, duper, duper fast. I'm telling you, it's like a whirlwind. So I just want to welcome each and every person to the show today. And I know you are, you know you're in for a treat, because that's why you come. And this is our morning motivational treats. I tell you what, this morning I was on a prayer call that started at 6 a.m. and that lasts till 7. So I do a weekly prayer and, well, it's a prayer and Bible teaching call, really.
I'm so sorry.
Bless you.
Where, I'm so sorry.
You know, God is, no, God bless you. This is that season, so listen. It's better out than in. Get those germs right on out. But we were doing a prayer call this morning. For those of you who would like to join that prayer and study time where we're teaching on prayer, Evangelist Virginia Dancy and myself teaching on power, you can contact me. I will get you the number. I'll probably post it anyway. But we had an awesome time. And then last night, we were back at the Wyndham, Mr. Walker,
okay,
with our first break into speaking training session, 2-hour training session. And we had a few people showed up, and let me tell you, we had ourselves a great time. I can't wait until the next one. So out of all the four people who showed up, all four of them signed up for the other event that we're going to be doing. And it was just, I'm telling you, the Wyndham Hotel is the greatest. She gave me the best room. I mean, it was just really, really a show of love and just, you know, wonderful, wonderful. So I'm going to move out of your way. We can't wait to hear what you have to bring to us today. And I'll come back hopefully about 5 minutes of 8 and just give some further announcements, definitely about the events that's coming up and some other things that's going to be happening. So, Mr. Walker, everyone, Mr. Walker, take it away.
Great. Thanks a lot, Coach. Thank you so much. Good morning once again, everyone, and I hope that everyone is having a wonderful, wonderful week. As always, I'm excited and glad to join each and every one of you for our Wednesday morning midweek inspiration. This has been going on, I think, now a little bit over a month, and I'm just as excited today as the first time in which we put on this particular segment, because it continuously gives birth to my dream. It continuously allows me to speak to our audience and to the people who are listening and trying to receive this message and really understand how, you know, the universe and the vibrations within the universe work, and how if you want to be successful, if you want to be mindful, if you want to be educated and or inspired, there's only two ways to ever get there. And one is by the books you read, and the other is by the people in which you associate with. So I'm so happy to be able here to speak and present. I'm so happy to, you know, have the listeners who are there, who send out shout-outs to us, who speak, who come on the line, who send us these emails. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And also, again, Coach, thank you for allowing me to be here to share my experiences and my thoughts. Thank you again.
Absolutely.
For the... No, I was just... Thank you.
You're good.
Yeah.
Mr. Walker? Mr. Walker? Okay. See if we... Hello? Mr. I think his phone dropped off and he's calling back in. There he is. Okay. There you are,
lost
Mr. Walker.
The call. But it did. So I think you were saying something when I got dropped.
No, I was just saying, no, thank you for being available to come on and to share your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience with people.
Right. No, no problem, no problem. And also, let me not forget, when we're talking about those people and the wonderful time, Coach, that we had there at, you know, Rutgers University, and that was actually my first time on campus, and so much so, I was, what, 40 miles away at another campus when I called you to get back on track, but I was definitely determined to be there. I think I left at 6 o'clock in the morning because I like to get to these type of events early. I want to get the best parks. I want to look at, you know, where the facilities are at. I want to get the feel of the environment, and I want to get settled in. In my past life, my past Versi Walker, I was a guy who just gassed there and felt that if I was, you know, 5 minutes early, that I was on time. But you're not, and that's in your personal life and definitely in your professional life. And I learned so much by doing that, by getting to events and places early, 15, 20 minutes early, especially if you go to, like, a concert or a circus. If you get to a circus about an hour or half an hour early, you'll see the guys that are setting up and getting prepared. If you're there with your children, they'll allow you to come down into the circus, into the ring of the circus, and be able to see the animals, talk to the clowns. You kind of get a backstage or a backdoor look that everyone else who's just getting there on time and or late doesn't get to have that extra value added to the situation. So that's the very reason why I like to get there early, and I was there early or intended to be there early as well. And I'm not sure if you noticed as well, too, Coach, but those who were in attendance for the event were glued to their seats. They were there with pen in hand. And as I said earlier, I was down front, and I'm sitting dead center because I don't want to miss anything. And I had the distinct pleasure of sitting down and talking to a lot of the people who were in attendance. And I met some wonderful people, and some who were even fans of ours or friends of ours on Facebook as well as the show. And so I want to say hello to Miss Tina Alexis. Hey, Miss Tina Love. I'm sorry, Tina Lane. Also, Miss Vicky. And lastly, I want to send out a special hello and thanks to the mayor of Irvington, New Jersey. And I can't wait to see you all again at the next upcoming events. And these events are going to continue to go on according to Adele. And I definitely would like to be a part of them or a great supporter of what's going on because it's the right time, we're in the right season, and we're empowering our people, that's good enough of a reason for me and everyone else to get involved. So those who couldn't make it, you missed a heck of a time. And those who did, please spread the word and attend even more because as they build on this, there's going to be more that will be offered to you, and it's only for your benefit. I can't help but recall when we sat down and had lunch, Coach, one of the attendees had indicated, you know, there should be tons of people at these kind of events, and especially with the price point being so right. And I, right then and there, gleamed inside because this gentleman, he got it. He understood. See, he wasn't concerned with the cost of the event because he understood the benefit. When you are more in concern with the cost and the time it takes to do, get, have, or be, then you can never find or appreciate the value or the benefit of that what has caught up in a bunch. I would rather for more of our listeners to reduce the amount of cable usage at home, call their cable provider, say, you know, you need it's absorbent to grab that extra month on a product that they may only use one-eighth of the time, maybe half the time with their home, but now place that money or those resources elsewhere to something that they can benefit personally or professionally or as a family unit. It is imperative today because if you want to compete in this global society economically, educationally, professionally, you have to do something different to become something very different than what you were just yesterday. That is how fast this thing is moving. So I agree with you, Coach. Things are happening at lightning speed. And I want to make sure that, you know, our people, our listeners, our family, our friends are on the cutting edge of where this thing and this new millennium and this new opportunity is going. Because it's going to be a growth pattern that no one has ever seen before. I'm sorry, one of the...
That is so true.
Recreate. Huh?
That's so true.
Great. And I was telling one of our attendees that you don't really have to recreate or redevelop something besides yourself, because there's items out here that you can modify and grab a patent. So you can modify something and grab a patent and reintroduce it to the marketplace and become a millionaire overnight. I gave her the analogy that Sprewell, the basketball player Sprewell, didn't reinvent a rim. He didn't reinvent
I know you said he didn't reinvent the wheel, and then I think we lost you, and I think he probably is traveling and on the cell phone. So until he dials back in, we will hear from caller 469. Good morning and welcome. Oh, there he is. He's back. Yes.
Apologize. I have to grab another phone, but this has never happened.
Okay, I think I did open up another line, so I think the person wants to make a comment right before you continue on, Mr. Walker, if you don't mind.
Good morning, Lalisa, and good morning, Versi. This is
Adele. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you, guys. Saturday was an awesome event, and there's going to be more like that. And I really appreciate both of you being there because you brought so much to the room. So keep doing what you're doing. First, your comments are great, and I would absolutely agree with you. More and more of our people need to hear what we brought forth on Saturday. So, I mean, you started off with a really great show, and I'm going to tell you, keep it up. That's all I have to say right now. I'm still fighting with this cold, but eventually it'll go away. I'm trusting and believing in that.
Right.
Yes, so are we, and so are we. And we thank you so much for all that you're doing, Ms. Adele, and we wish you much success on your ventures today. And we want to hear all about them later. So back to you, Mr. Walker.
No problem. And I appreciate Adele coming on and saying that. And people, as you just heard, she's still fighting the cold, and the word still, because she was under the weather on Saturday, but she still performed. She still pushed forward. She still delivered the message and created the atmosphere that, you, regardless of how you feel and what's going on, when you're on purpose and you're on point and you're called to do something, you must do it. And so that's a true testament to what she believes in, having her dream come to visible manifestation. And so I appreciate her comments and, you know, having me again there as a guest. And so as I was saying, the Sprewell analogy is that he didn't reinvent the rim. He didn't reinvent the mag. He just developed or created an illusion. And that illusion was the spinning rim. So when someone drives and they sit still, the rim still gives the illusion that it's spinning. So he made millions of dollars off of that idea, but he didn't reinvent the wheel. And that's the problem with so many people. They feel that they don't have the creativity because they have to redevelop, recreate, and they don't feel it's in them. It's there. You just have to take the time and have the passion and follow the direction, that small, still voice inside. Before I get further, Coach, I do, excuse me, do want to, as usual, give a few updates. On last Wednesday, I had the pleasure of being interviewed by a lady by the name of Barbara Joy, J-O-Y-E. She's the shift guru, and she believes in the process of shifting your mind and yourself into positive thinking. I didn't really know how this would probably pan out, this interview, because she wanted it to kind of center around the holidays. And so I made sure that we still had the interview. And with all my interviews, I try not to have any pre-interview questions that I give to the interviewer or the host, because I like to go natural and off the cuff, because you get more of the essence of who Versi is. And I want to make sure we did that as well with this one. Well, to my pleasurable surprise, this interview went off well. She's actually located in Denver, Colorado, and it just had a 2-inch snowstorm on the day in which we had the interview, and she was joy, overjoyed, because she loves the snow and she loves the weather. But the interview went well. It will be available for my listeners during a DC, during the December month for a podcast that was made available right before the holiday season. For our Detroit family, once again, I'm heading your way. I'll be back. I'll be there in Detroit, actually, at the airport on Tuesday, November 23rd, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. for another successful book signing. And I'm already calling it to existence. And on the following day, which would be Wednesday, November 24th, I'll be back home in Chicago for the Thanksgiving holiday. And I'll be having a fundraiser book signing at Let's Get Poppin' Gourmet Popcorn Shop right there on 117th and Western Avenue. And a portion of these proceeds will go to benefit our youth. I do ask of each and every one of you who are listening and as individuals or people who are in the Chicagoland area, do come out and support. Unfortunately for me, I just discovered last night that this will be a bittersweet homecoming. I just lost an uncle last night to a massive heart attack who was driving on the expressway heading to pick up my auntie. So this is going to, again, be a bittersweet homecoming. But nonetheless, I'm going to be there, and we're going to have, you know, have to get things done. And last but not least, I'll be back here in New York December 9th and 10th for a book signing at both of the John F. Kennedy airports and the MacArthur Airport here in the New York area. For those of you wishing to find out more about Versie Walker and also to get an autographed copy of my book, visit me at www.versiewalker.com. That's spelled V as in victory, E-R-S-I-E-W-A-L-K-E-R.com. These books do make great gift ideas because they're the gift that keeps on giving. Now, Coach, today I want to touch on and speak on the topic of forgiveness, the topic of making amends, fixing a past hurt, or simply righting a wrong. And I find it very appropriate during this season that we keep talking about there's a season of reflecting, season of remembering, season of getting rid of, letting go, because now we're going into a new era, a new time, a new year. And I think the biggest hindrance or burden to that, or the obstacle to that, would be the inability to let go of past hurts, the inability not to forgive, to hold grudges and be grudgeful-hearted. And I think that hinders us in multiple ways, physically, emotionally, sometimes financially, and spiritually. It's not, it doesn't keep us balanced. It doesn't provide what all the universe wants us to have, and we're blocking our blessings when we can't or care not to forgive because it really just hurts us. So that will be, you know, my topic for today, to touch on and expound on that, and hopefully the listeners really understand where this message is coming from. It's coming from a place of healing. It's coming from an area or someone who had struggled with this, who had challenges with this as well. I don't really believe most individuals understand that the power of forgiveness is truly unbelievable. The releasing, healing power of forgiveness is resounding. And when it's done right and when it's done sincerely, it vibrates the very center of your core. Forgiveness is simply a testament to the power of love and the strength of the human spirit. I want to repeat that one more time. Forgiveness is simply a testament to the power of love and the strength of the healing spirit. Coach, I'm sure you, much like myself, have found forgiveness as a difficult task, maybe sometimes as a chore. And I know for me it didn't come easy, especially, you know, when someone I trusted turned around and betrayed me or broke that trust. I just wasn't trying to forgive you. I found the value in it. I didn't think there was a reason to. And especially for those who didn't even voluntarily stand up and say, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing for how I violated you or how I let you down. So I'm like, why do I feel compelled or obligated to forgive someone who's not even asking to be forgiven? That's not the right attitude. And last, and on yesterday, and Coach, I was listening to the show yesterday, you had the top 10 signs of poor customer service. And I think number 10 and number 1 are really, for me, the aha moment. And that happens more often than not. I believe you said number 10 was the I'm going to get them before they get me mentality. It's the us against them mentality.
Right.
And then the number one reason, okay, the number one reason you gave was simply attitude. Simply attitude is the number one reason why there's poor customer service, why we feel that I can't say I'm sorry or why I can't forgive him or her for past hurts. We can't continue to work or walk in this vein, especially for those who profess themselves to be Christians. It is just not the godly thing to do. And oftentimes you hurt or you ache inside. And you don't realize why, because it's an ill feeling. Your body is now at dis-ease. It's not settled. It's unbalanced because you're not releasing the right energy. And so you won't, in return, get the right energy back to you. If you're all anything like me or how I used to be, forgiveness came far, few, and in between. See, I had boundaries. And I'm sure many of you do too. I had limits. And if you crossed them or you crossed me, I hurt, so then you had to hurt. I think the kid said today, I know we used to say, you know what, it's a wrap. You are a wrap. I'm not dealing with you. I'm not dealing with it or you anymore. I even so much had even pretended in a lot of situations, especially some of those toxic relationships that I chose to stay in. I pretended as if I forgave those individuals just to sit back, perched up like a vulture, so that I had my opportunity or my ace in the hole so that I could then turn it back on you and make you feel the same way that I felt, how I felt unimportant, how I felt dismissed, and how he maybe even felt thrown away or dejected. I want you to feel the same exact way that I did. And I say again, people, that was the wrong attitude to have. I exerted so much energy. That was probably why I wasn't able to see my talents and or gifts until later on in life, to appreciate them, because I was looking for other people to appreciate me. And when they didn't, it could have been minuscule. If it was something that I had warned you against, told you I didn't like, or something I just felt you should have knew about me, I held it against you. You were in contempt in my court. Well, believe it or not, that was a lot of work. Time wasted, time lost, and time is the one thing we have the most of, Coach, but it's the least thing that we should be wasting, because we never know. As in the situation with my uncle, we never know when your time is up. So why are we exerting this type of energy on something that we can't change? We can't change people. We have to change ourselves. There are many words out here that I just do not like to hear. I cannot change the individuals who are saying them. I have to change me and my appreciation or value or dislike to those words, or remove myself from that individual or the situation. I have the control. I found in most cases that the persons that did what they did to me hadn't set out intentionally to do it. They didn't sit down and intentionally just, you know, take their time and sketch it out and map it out how they were going to hurt or disappoint me. Besides that, I was holding long-term grudges against folk who had not even thought or even recalled what occurred. Can you believe that? They hadn't even thought beyond the situation, the issue of the time. And when I brought it back to them, you know what you did to me? You remember when you...
They not?
I don't recall that. Because it wasn't significant to them. It didn't happen to them. It happened to me. I was watching Dr. Phil yesterday, and he had on, and I never watched Dr. Phil, but I was ironing. So I was watching Dr. Phil yesterday, and he had this segment called Dr. Phil Housewives. And there was a lady on, and this drove your point yesterday totally to fruition in my mind. There was this lady on who was once 325 pounds, who's probably now about 215. She's undergone all type of surgeries to make this come true. But during the time she was 325, she was very accommodating and beguiling. She was the jokester. She was everything to get the attention. She had a sister who was always smaller or slender than she was, and they're very close in age. And during this time of growing up, she was teased. She was harassed. She was talked about. And the other sister wasn't. And so this woman had, I'm going to get you first attitude now. Her motto is, when I was, you used to didn't want me, now you're all up on me. Everybody's talking about me. Everybody's, you know, doing this. So I'm going to get them first. I'm going to judge them and signify and talk about them first. And she had the wrong attitude, Coach. Top 10 of your list from yesterday, she embodied and employed each and every one of those. And it brought to light a lot of things about people. And she was, a living example of what not to do in life. She was holding grudges against people who hadn't even thought more about the event than when the event happened. I've seen on the other end where the slender sister feels or felt the same way. It wasn't in this case, but where everybody called them skinny and teased them and told them they look like olive oil. And those scars, these resentments, these grudges, they too hold against the bearer of those bad news. And ignorance is ignorance, and you have to look at people where they're at and, you know, act accordingly. But oftentimes, Coach, we don't. We have this reside in us as if it's paying rent. We have this hate and this, again, grudgefulness stay inside of us, and it's poisoning us to the core where we don't, you know, live our life fully because we're living in the eyes of the past, and we can't continuously do that if we want to move forward and prosper. Now, this angered me when I went back to the individuals and told them, you know what you did. You know what you said. Don't look foolish. Don't pretend. It angered me even more to think that someone had the audacity to piss me off and have me upset and despising them, only to find out that they had even given the situation a second thought. How dare them? You have now dejected and dissed me twice. Wrong attitude, wrong frame of mind. And I know we only recall those things that happened to us or that affected us when it happened, because we can all look at the same accident, and if it didn't affect us the same way, we're going to have 2, 3, 4 totally different viewpoints and ideas on how that accident occurred. So I understand the person who's hurting because of the words that were spewed or said to them out of anger or a malicious attack. I understand that. But we have to move beyond that and allow that to build us up to being the better individuals, not necessarily just turn the cheek oftentimes, but realizing that we can turn a cheek and remove ourselves all of the time, having that option, having that power, having that will to say, I don't have to sit here anymore. Whoopi Goldberg and her co-host, I think Joy Boehner, her name is, I just recently found out they had, I believe, Bill O'Reilly on the show, and he said something against Muslims. And Whoopi Goldberg, before opening her mouth, because she realized the Whoopi that was coming up and that was about to come out and show herself on this show, would have cost her a whole lot of money, not only from the FCC, but her losing that job. I was, you know, uneasy to, you know, to feel that she had a concern about losing a job, but she has to pay her bills too. But Whoopi has been so deep and so long in the game, much like Don Imus and Man Cow and all these other people who can say whatever they want to on the show, get fired, and 2 days later get hired at another medium. I don't like that, but, you know, I didn't want my Whoopi, our Whoopi, to have to fear that kind of repercussion and losing her job, because if I had one to give her, I would give her five. Because, again, she has brought so much to the table and allowed us to see ourselves for who we are. No matter how we look, we could still be dynamic. But when the situation arose on the show, The View, when Whoopi didn't like what this man said, and before she allowed him, before she rendered and gave him the power to remove herself from who she is today, she got up and walked off the set. Others may not have agreed with that way of doing it, but had Sally or Susie did it, they would have applauded her and said, "You're right, you stood up for something." But we have to apologize even when we do what was right, and that was right for her to do, because her sitting there would have mean that she would have been in acceptance of this man's derogatory or ignorant comments and statements. Her leaving, I think, made a greater impact than her sitting there and cursing him out, because that could have been taken 100 different ways, and it would have been a financial repercussion on her pocketbook, not his. So I applaud people who realize you can remove yourself from these toxic, going-nowhere situations. We are more in control than what we think, and so I think we need to think better and have better attitudes. Forgiveness, by definition, is the act of forgiving, or the state of being forgiven. It is the willingness to forgive. Forgiveness is the process of ceasing to feel resentment, indignation, or anger against another person for a perceived offense. The difference, or a mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. The perceived offense. The difference, or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. It took me a while to get here. It took me many are bruised feelings and relationships, lost business opportunities, and time wasted before I ever realized and understood that forgiving someone wasn't for them at all. The heck with them, especially if they chose to deliberately hurt me. The process of forgiveness is just that. It's a process. You must release yourself from the chain and anger and bitterness. It's not for those who angered you or hurt you. The first step in forgiveness is the process of foregoing any further connection to the past hurt or experience. Coach, for me, I mentioned it quite often that I was raised in a predominantly female-geared household. I'm a product of teenage relationship. My mom and dad both were teenagers when they had me. My mom and dad married as teenagers, and by the time my mother left and divorced him, she was still in her teens, very young. My father was in my life from the time I was 2 to the time I was 5, probably as often as 12 times during that entire 3-year period. And I didn't see my father again until I was 13, and it was him at his mother's funeral. I would ask his mother and his sister and his brother when I would see them periodically, because we lived in the same neighborhood, had they seen or heard from my dad. They told me no. We don't know where he's at. We don't know why he hasn't. And so, okay, I lived with that for quite some time. I would hear stories on why my father wasn't around, abusing my mother, drinking excessively,
told my mother, if you have the sheriff come to my house one more time or to my job one more time, I will quit my job and move away and I'll never pay child support again. He did those same things in which he said he would do. So my mom didn't talk ill of him, but anything that she could have said, it was right was only being proven because he wasn't there to dismiss them. He wasn't there to show or do differently. I had a relationship with my dad between 13 and maybe 18. To me, it wasn't fruitful. It was of no consequence not to continue. I met a young lady who father and mom were married prior to her being born. When she was 15, they divorced, left, and everything else. She was 22 years old, sitting in my room one day and called her dad. And she said, "Happy birthday, Dad. This is your baby girl." Her vigor, her excitement, her respect and adoration for this man was as if he was still in her life today. And I'm like, you had a 15-year long-term ongoing relationship. You also still continuously to reach out and contact this man. And my father, I don't know much about him or much of him, and I have a right to be judgmental and bitter and angry for him getting the heck out of our way. No, you know what? Let me reach out to him. And we subsequently established a relationship again because I realized the process of forgiving. It wasn't about him because I felt I didn't need him. I had so much love around me, so many people nurturing my soul and my spirit and my ideas. There was a void, but there were so many real things that were in place of it I had no right to. In fact, I probably took too much love from other people who didn't get enough. And so I want to say I'm sorry to you for doing that, for being selfish to allow people to love me and hold me when this man obviously couldn't understand what love was. He didn't have the capacity to understand that. And he missed out on the benefit of Versie Walker, not I. So I had to learn that we can't continuously walk in this vein. We can't continuously preach and profess the forgiveness of our Father and all that he is offering to us, and then we could turn around and resent something that is immaterial. We're acting like children who are being clothed, being fed, being nurtured, and they would have the audacity to get mad because someone broke their pencil lead when there's tons of pencils available to them. They would go to that minute level and allow themselves to have their demeanor to be altered or removed. So I had to learn to forgive someone who had, again, hurt me directly and indirectly because I was a party to the relationship, but I shouldn't have been a part of that relationship, that hurt or that anger he had towards my mom. In fact, he could have probably hurt her even worse by spending more time with me, saying, "See what you did? You missed out on a good thing. I'm here for my son," but he didn't. And he's paying the piper for that. In fact, the reason, Coach, I had locations on the West Coast when I had my retail business is because I went out to take care of his financial affairs when he got stricken with a stroke and a massive heart attack and laid in his house for 3 days until a neighbor found him. I went to see about him. I now oversee his business and his affairs. I now attend to his needs more so than he ever did for me. And it's not an attaboy for me. It's not a pat on the back for me. It is what I'm supposed to do when I understand and when you understand the power of forgiveness. For most people, we must really take into account and must really take responsibility for ourselves. In order for us to grow, people, we have to stop making excuses and giving away our power to outside influences and then saying that he or she made me so mad. That's why I went off on a tangent. That's why I snapped off on him. That's why I put him in check. No, 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 no. No one, I repeat, no one should ever have that much power over you to have you step outside of yourself and act a fool, to become something that you say that you're not. Why? Why? This is, again, what children do. Well, you say I'm nothing. You say I ain't going to be nothing, so I might as well take these drugs. I might as well stay out in the street all night. You might as well. You don't think I'm anything anyway. No, 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 no. What do you think of yourself? Regardless of what I think of you, how do you value yourself, and why are we constantly giving our powers away? I don't understand. Excuse me. We are, you are, I am the ruler of my thoughts and actions, and I gave you a great scenario with the Whoopi Goldberg situation and Bill O'Reilly. She was in control of her thoughts and actions, and she knew the Whoopi that she was about to bring out, she was going to serve him up a can of unpleasantries. And she realized it would hurt her more than it would probably ever affect him. I'm not trying to tell people, and I'm not trying to say to you listeners today, that you will become or can control or become immune to other people's heinous, brutal, deliberate attacks on yourself or on your character. However, you can control how it affects you, and quite frankly, how you respond to it. You're in control. You have the power. This is what the movie, The Wizard of Oz, the play, the show, The Wiz, this is all. This is what that whole thing was about. You already have it inside of you. You have the power, but you're running to the Wiz to give or allow or to take or to receive something from him that he has no power to give you, because it's already inside of you, people. We just got to stop giving it away. Oftentimes when people purposely attack others, and this is what I got yesterday from the Dr. Phil Housewife segment, that when people attack others, it's usually not them attacking you at all, you, the person, who you are, what you may stand for. It's oftentimes something that's going on internally with inside of them, or you may represent something that they don't like, usually what they may lack or don't like in themselves. I found it odd years ago when looking at our communities and our infrastructure and how we socialize. It found it odd that a grown man and a grown woman can be received differently in our communities. And I say that because if there's a group of guys standing in front of your house doing what God knows they're doing, and we know it may not be savory or ideal what they're doing in front of your house, if I were to walk in front of that crowd and say, disperse, leave, get from in front of my house, those individuals will more likely attack me verbally and maybe physically. But if my wife were to do the same thing, they would disband. Oh, come on, y'all, let's leave. Oh, yeah, we're in front of her house. Sorry, ma'am. Have a good day. You know, let's go, guys. They would give her the utmost respect. And I didn't understand why. Then I realized they would attack me because of what I represent. I represent the father that ain't there. I represent the father or the man that brutalized them or their mother. I represent the officer who slammed them down on the corner and humiliated them. I represent the teacher that said they would never be nothing. I represented the drugs and the judge and everything else that they didn't like inside of them, that they were fighting because they didn't want to have a resemblance of something that they could no longer connect to, because they had a disconnect at some point in some place in their life. But the mother was a constant, prominent figure. The auntie, the sister, was the nurturer and the holder of their secrets and their pains. And I represented something that they could not connect to, so they resented it within themselves. And that's why they would verbally or physically attack me. I understood. Didn't like it, don't want to be that, want to get back, want to hold, want to embrace these young men and nurture them, but I got it. I understood. When it comes, Coach, to letting go and letting bygones be bygones, we all must stop and think as to whether or not the grudge or ill feelings that we carry, are they really worth it? really? And watching Oprah yesterday, she had on the cast of the movie Color Purple. I don't get a chance to watch a lot of TV, guys, especially in the daytime, because I'm usually busy trying to put in work. But I will watch, you know, something of this magnitude, someone who, again, I aspire to get to her level. It's only one Oprah, and I only want Oprah doing Oprah. I don't want to be her, but I definitely would like to be on her level. I would definitely like to be in association with her. So she had on the entire cast, besides one member who passed away, of the original Color Purple. She even had Quincy Jones and Steven Spielberg to speak. They were the ones who put all this together. 25 years ago, this movie came to light. 25 years ago, it was placed in front of us. I didn't realize that much time had passed. But during that time of the movie and then recently, there had been a wedge between her and Whoopi Goldberg. Unbeknownst to them, they didn't like each other. Others had asked questions of Whoopi, do you and Oprah hang out? She said, no, we don't. You know, just because there's five blacks in Hollywood don't mean we all hang out. That ran, and that gained wings and gained momentum. So on both sides of the camp, there were things that were said, nothing heinous, nothing, you know, discriminating against one another, but it wasn't as if they had pleasantries with one another either. So it wasn't until recently, being at Tyler Perry's house for a viewing of the Four Color Girls, that they met. Whoopi took the opportunity. Whoopi had the courage. She took the had the inclination to approach her and said, excuse me, Oprah, are you mad at me? Oprah then said, no, I thought you were mad at me. She said, well, you never had me on your show. You never talked to me. She said, again, I thought you were mad at me. They allowed 25 years of separation and opportunity, not that they were going to be close friends either, but imagine the collaborations that could have happened with them, Coach, much like the collaboration that you and I, Adele, and others are doing to bring forth greatness in our universe, in our communities, and in this world. Imagine two of the most powerful women in Hollywood, because Whoopi Goldberg at one time was the highest paid African-American female. She won more awards than anybody. How great and how dynamic they could have been. And only if someone not assumed and had, if only someone would have just picked up the phone and said, hey, did I do something wrong? I'm sorry. Can we make amends? Is there something I said that offended you? It goes back to the definition, the perceived offense. So whether or not I offended you, it's perception, because we know, especially in our communities, perception is reality. If I think you rolled your eyes at me, you rolled them, and so it's on. If I think you lied or tried to play me, it's on. It's the principle, I guess. It's the assumption. But to have been separated so long on an issue that was a non-issue could have hurt them socially, financially, but I know it hurt them spiritually, because neither one of them, and it was obvious that Whoopi wasn't at ease. It was obvious that something was inside of her that compelled her to even ask a question, Coach, to even reach out, because she could have avoided her. Oftentimes people do. But today, as we move forward, I ask you, each and every one of you, to tune into, tap into the healing, releasing power of forgiveness. And if there's anyone that you hold a grudge against, ill feelings, ill will against, pick up the phone, write the letter, make the connection. Allow them and understand and tell them, you know what, I am no longer connected to that past hurt or perceived hurt. And I release that, and I release you, and I forgive you. I forgive you because you're doing it for yourself. You're giving yourself the power. And I think more of this will be expounded on as we move closer and closer to the end of the year, because this releasing mechanism that I'm talking about We need to do this not only in our closets, not only in our back seats, not only in our mind. We need to do it inside of our spirit, because 2011 is about to be on fire. We're going to bring you more of the greatness that's inside of us. You're going to see more of that inside of you. And I don't want you taking this mess from 2010 and past years into this new era that I'm talking about, this new era that's going to start unfolding and unveiling itself to you. And those who are receptive of it, wait. You're going to launch yourself in a whole new direction. I command that in your life. I command that through the Spirit. I command that through the universe, because I'm commanding it in mine. And, Coach, with that being said, I want my people to go out there and be fearless. Take it over, Coach.
Awesome word on forgiveness, forgiveness. We must lay the burdens down. We must let it go. It's already happened. It's over. So we may as well move on and not take it with us. Why are we carrying it around? Very good. You're absolutely right. We're going to the end of the year, looking forward to a whole new decade, a whole new dimension, so many wonderful things. And unforgiveness is going to hinder a lot of people from really getting the breakthroughs that they're looking for in their lives to do the great things that God has called and has promised for you to do. Remember, we're not doing any of this stuff in and of ourselves. We are doing it because God has called us to it, and whatever He's called us to, we want to be on point with just one answer, and that is, yes, I will do it. Yes, I'm honored to do it for you, God. And, we did before we even knew God, I'll do anything for you, Lord. Just whatever it is, just show me. So He's showing us, and He's showing us that we must forgive and some other wonderful things. I want to thank you, Mr. Walker, again, for that powerful, impactful message on how we got to really get to true success and prosperity. We must forgive ourselves. We need to put ourselves on top of the list. On top of the list. Forgive ourselves. Yes, and I'm going to open up a phone line. We have about 30 seconds left. Yes, 469, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Walker and Ms. Lolita. I just want to say quickly and briefly, once again, I always enjoy Mr. Walker. This is my second time hearing you. And Lolita, I've been enjoying your talk on blog radio station. And just wanted to let you know, I am executing what you guys are seeing every day of my life. I'm not getting up in the morning and wasting my time or getting my husband roll their eyes at me while I'm on the phone so early. But I just want to let you know, I am definitely executing what you guys are saying. And today I'm going to put in motion once again what Mr. Walker said. I did exactly what you spoke about yesterday, about excellent customer service. So when I left out of here, I had a great spirit in my heart when I went to work. And I was a great servant, and it came through my voice. And it's so funny, my first call when I got to work, I work at an insurance company at this present time, and the doctor said, "You got so much energy, and you're so kind and pleasant, and I just love it. How do you do it?" And I said, "So funny you said that. I just listened to a talk radio station talking about customer service, and I wanted to execute that again. I wanted to be reminded about the importance of great customer service, and it starts with me." So that was important to me this morning, and I just want to relive it and try to do it again. So I just want to say what are you doing in the morning, getting up, talking is a blessing to me, whether millions of people hear it or not, but it's truly blessing me, and I believe I'm at the right place at the right time right now. And I thank Adele for inviting me, and I thank my spirit for being obedient, getting up, trying to make sure I hear this because it's for me. So I want to say thank you both and everyone on the line at this time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Deborah, for that feedback. Thank you for finding us. Thank Adele for leading you here. And this is what it's all about. We are truly here to make an impact, to make a difference, so that you can go out and make a difference. We celebrate your efforts, and this is only the very, very tip of the iceberg. We celebrate your job. We celebrate your customers, and you can practice those steps. Write them down, hang them over your cubicle, and we're going to be bringing you more messages about how you can absolutely turn your workplace into your dream job. Turning your workplace into your dream job. So stay tuned for that topic as well. Well, we know it's the 8 o'clock hour, and many of you have to get on and get to work. And we thank Mr. Coach K and Relationship Buzz in the chat room, Mr. J. Early. Thank you, Ms. Kiva, for your constant, steadfast support. Thank you to the guests. Thank you, Ms. Hope Harper, holding it down in Cincinnati, Ohio. Y'all, her cleaners is blowing up, I'm telling you. She's been listening to the show, getting more power, getting more motivation. She had to hire another person on yesterday. She said that she almost was sick because so much business coming into her business, not just because she's listening to the show, but it's like what you said, she's implementing. You can listen all day long, but it's not until you implement what you hear, you're going to get results. And so she's been listening to some things and getting stronger and motivated. And then on her own, she decided to advertise on the radio there. It's getting all kinds of customers, but the attitude has got to come first. The forgiveness has to be there. Each of us have to live that forgiveness thing each and every day. So I just thank God right now and just ask that anyone, if I've offended anyone, please, please, please forgive me. But I'm going to forgive myself. Don't forget, put yourself at the top of the list, because sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Well, Mr. Walker, you've done it again. Can't thank you enough. You were the greatest.
Well,
we really appreciate you. We so appreciate you. And we know you're busy. We know you have a lot going on. You're being pulled here and there. But we are so thankful that you come here each and every week. And other days, you're not just here on Wednesday. You also listen to the show. That's very comforting to Ms. Adele Foster, to Mr. Howard J. Scott. We're going to get him back on. What a powerhouse. Powerhouse.
He really is.
I can't wait. Y'all got to hear Mr. Jeffrey Dunn. He's got a powerful message. And all the DVDs will be available soon from the Got Motivation and Speak. You let us know. You got to hear Mr. Wally Hakeem. And as soon as you get, I need Ms. Hope, I need you to let both your sons listen to him. You got to get these, and your daughters as well, get these messages to our youth. Mr. Wally has a powerful, powerful message. And, you know, it's just awesome, great. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ms. Tina. I'm going to be talking to you a little bit later. Liz loved talking to you, and she's so motivated and so encouraging. I'm also going to see Tina on Friday. For those of you who are in the New Jersey area, if you want to come and fellowship with the sisterhood, we're going to be fellowshipping at Greater Little Rock Baptist Church on Dayton Street in Newark, New Jersey, right down the street from the old, from Dayton Street Elementary School, right across from the Weekway Park on the side where they play golf. You can't miss it, right off of Freeland Heisen Avenue. Friday night, all are welcome. Service is going to start at 7:30. It's going to be off the chain. But I'll also mention that again on tomorrow for those that may have forgot or didn't know. But if you tune back in, you can, if you listen to the archive, yes, or you can go to my Facebook page or go to Tina's Facebook page. Awesome, awesome service. We're going to have sisters. These are real sisters supporting each other. Don't forget, sisters, next month I'm doing a relaunch for my business, Performance Strategies Unlimited. We're going to be doing it in Maplewood on Springfield. Also, we have the sister-to-sister meetings there. There's going to be a panel discussion, women business owners. And if any of you listening know how to get a patent for a new idea, I need you to call me immediately. I need some experts on how to get products patented. I have some people asking me for help on this area. I'm going to do some research, and we're going to talk about that next month. That's not next month, but next week. That's where we're moving people. We got people with ideas. They want to patent them. Listen, we're going time all the way. But if you know anything about patents, please, and programs to get things patented, please, please, please call me, 888-714-7776. Well, it's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. But you got to keep moving on up. This has been Coach LaLisa. And Mr. Versi Walker, don't forget that.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.